I'm now going to read Reverend Fleur Houston's reflection for today. Gaelic, as I was led to believe as a child, is the language that was spoke in the Garden of Eden. No other language could be more complex in its structures. No other language could have more words of affection and love. It's not an easy language to learn from a textbook. You need to learn it from the Gaelic speakers. And you'll find those chiefly in the Western Highlands of Scotland. I was told how a cousin of my mother's, Christopher, had begun to give lessons in Gaelic to a friend. One day, they decided to go fishing in a small fishing boat on Loch Deutsch. Suddenly, the weather took a turn for the worse. The wind became fierce, and the man, who was unable to swim, called out to Christopher in perfect Gaelic, "Help me, man, help me." Now this was quite extraordinary, for this man had never learned enough of the language to say this. It was quite inexplicable. Yet in his hour of need, he was able to communicate perfectly. You could say that it was, in a way, a Pentecost experience. Today we read Luke's great account in the book of Acts of the first Pentecost experience of the early church. He relates how, on the day of Pentecost, all the apostles were met together. Now, in itself, there is nothing unusual about that, for this was one of the three great pilgrimage festivals in the Jewish calendar, a day when devout Jews gathered in Jerusalem, Jews from Israel, and diaspora Jews too, who travelled from the countries where they had settled to celebrate the feast in Jerusalem. Pentecost was a harvest festival, an opportunity to celebrate together God's providence and care. But for Jesus' closest disciples, it had an extra significance. Jesus had returned to the Father. His resurrection appearances to them on earth had come to an end. But had he not ordered them to stay in Jerusalem and wait there until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit? His parting promise to them was this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." So in faith they went to Jerusalem and gathered together in prayer. The apostles, Jesus' mother and brothers, and certain other women. They didn't know what to expect. They knew God was faithful to his promises. They were expecting something, but what might that be? They had no idea. Then suddenly, on the day of Pentecost, it happened. And what happened was so extraordinary that it eluded description. Luke describes the indescribable in poetic imagery. A great rushing sound as of a wind swept through the building. There was a flickering in the air like tongues of fire, and these settled on each one of them where they sat. The Spirit was present among the group of disciples, baptizing them with fire, as John the Baptist had once foretold. The immediate effect was electrifying. All of a sudden, the community of believers was galvanized with the ability to speak to people in a way which they could understand, as if they could speak their mother tongues. Now we should not assume from this that they were suddenly able to speak in various foreign languages, idiomatically using nouns, verbs, adverbs and adjectives with impeccable correctness. Nor was it an example of glossolalia, the gift of speaking in tongues, for that is unintelligible to the hearer unless it's interpreted. The gift of Pentecost was something else. It was a gift to speak in such a way that all the hearers could understand, whatever their own language. It was the gift from God. From Pentecost on, the disciples were empowered to leave their comfort zones, to reach across massive boundaries, cultural, religious, and ethnic, and preached the gospel boldly and persuasively throughout the known world. Their hearers were stupefied and contemptuous. Were these who spoke not Galileans, rough-cast men from the backwoods in the north of Israel? Their accent betrayed them. But the language of the Spirit is not some cut-glass heavenly diction, free from the marks of human identity. It is the language of particular human beings who live, work, and worship in a particular place, express themselves in a particular way, and talk with their family and friends in their own idiom. For the disciples to lose their accents would be to lose a significant part of their identity. I well remember the day my mother and father bought a television set. I was about 13, I suppose, and my brother about 11. They bought the set not for entertainment, but to try to ensure that though we lived in a rural Scottish village, we would learn to speak BBC English, which was much more standardised in those days than it is now. Strange though it may seem to us today, there was a widespread belief at the time that if you were to make headway in life, you had to speak with a standard English accent. As you know, it didn't work. We never lost the Scottish accent that was our inheritance. God is no respecter of persons. God works with real people, flesh and blood people like us, born in a specific place and time, and filled with the Spirit to proclaim the greatness of God in our own accents and in our own way. Everyone wondered what this meant. Were they drunk? Peter rose to his feet. How could they be drunk? It wasn't yet 9 o'clock in the morning. He went on to remind these devout Jews of the promises of Scripture. Had the prophet Joel not seen how at the end of time God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, young men should see visions and old men dream dreams, men and women, old and young, slaves and free, would prophesy. The signs and wonders that they had just seen and heard were a fulfilment of Joel's prophecy. The power of the future had erupted into human history with tongues of fire. The final era was inaugurated. And so Peter draws his hearers into the victory of God in Christ. At the present time, we are emerging tentatively from the restrictions of the coronavirus pandemic into our newfound freedoms. With a regime of masks, hand sanitizer, and social distancing, some of our churches are reopening today, while others have not yet reopened for in-person services. Either way, we are taking proper precautions, and to be honest, are we not feeling just a little anxious, vulnerable, and insecure? It scarcely seems possible that under such circumstances we could attempt to bring the gospel to Upper Hanover Street, let alone to all nations. And yet the Spirit lives and breathes on through unlikely voices, just like ours. Have we forgotten the immensity of the power that God has provided? Are we underestimating the reality of the Holy Spirit living and working among us? If so, the message of Pentecost is more important than ever. If we feel that the odds are stacked against us as a church, let us remember that the promise of the Spirit is for all God's people in every generation. It held good for those first followers of Jesus, and it still holds good for us today. The Spirit continues to bear witness through us. God will accomplish his purposes through us, not because we are powerful, we are not, but because he will continue to exercise his power through us. If we expect great things of God, God will surely achieve great things through us. We continue today with the anthem, God is a Spirit, by William Sterndale Bennett.